welcome to our live feed update for March 11th. Good morning. We are here to talk about Big Brother Canada 6, everything that's been happening on the live feeds. And I'm very excited here. We've got John Krause with me. How you doing, John?
About what time it is. There, I lost an hour somehow, and the feeds have been down for like 47 hours. So I don't know what time it is in Canada right now. I'm very confused.
Yes. This is not a good day. This is not a good day.
Oh no, Taryn, did the time break you?
It broke me. It broke me. As this podcast started, I realized that you weren't on the screen and I had to quickly put you on there. So.
Oh, you don't need to see my face. As long as you can hear my word hole talking, you'll be good.
Well, I don't think they could hear you either, but now they can. No.
Should I start over? No. Taryn, I don't know what time it is. I made a joke about the daylight savings.
Well, I'm very, very excited to be here with you, John. And hopefully we are actually live because I don't see anybody chatting yet. And we are going to talk about the live feeds yesterday. The feeds have been down all night. So
yes,
there's a lot that we don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know who won the veto. We're pretty sure we know who played in the veto, but obviously that's not 100% confirmed yet either, because we don't know who played or who won. We know that the veto was Tomb Raider themed, but we don't really know exactly what that entailed. And so we don't know, you know, what the fallout from the veto playing is either.
Yes. Okay. I'm seeing people. We are live.
Okay. Very good. Happy. Boy, that was we could have just been casting out into the void there.
This new setup. I think the volume difference is still here too. I haven't been able to fix that yet. So I'm sorry, guys. This is what happens. Daylight savings. If you are pro daylight savings, then I don't know what you're doing with your life. I don't know why daylight savings exists.
Do you actually want to know why daylight savings exists? Because we could talk about that for a while. Yeah. There's a slim chance that it might be ending in Florida soon. So I'm actually pleased. I'm on your side.
I feel like they dangle that in front of you
every year.
Yeah.
I know.
It's one of those things to like quell the masses.
I fall for it every time.
It's never true. All right. Well, we're going to talk about these live feeds, I promise. I feel like it was a combination of live feed, daylight savings and listening to Ryan all day. I posted a small clip on Twitter about like what it does to your brain to listen to Ryan for too long talk about his I've watched this show for 26 seasons and back in the day with Chicken George, and that's why you need to throw a veto.
I almost opened, instead of talking about a daylight savings time joke, with a joke about how I'm really enjoying Ryan Canada 6, my new favorite reality show, because it really is the Ryan show right now. He's still the one playing the most, talking the most, and teaching the most. And it's really an interesting strategy. I'm very excited for the next episode because I can't wait to hear what everyone else in the house has to say about Ryan, because we're getting little clips, little hints of sort of what people think about Ryan, but like I'm excited when they're in the diary room, they have the safety of that, like to really sort of let loose on their opinions on like what his strategy is. We've never really had anybody go so hardcore into it's almost like the opposite. A lot of these super fans, they come into the house and they try to hide it, and they try to hide that they're a super fan, but he's not only like leaning into it, but he's like, I'm going to be the professor. I'm actually so good at this show that I'm not only going to teach me how to win, but I'm going to teach you how to win and everyone else too.
Ryan is like Paul at the start of Big Brother 19, only he hasn't been on the show before. So he's like, guys, you have listened to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the show before. Whereas Paul was like, I've been here before. I can tell you all about the things. Ryan is like, no, I know about the things. Here's what you're doing wrong. And here's what you need to do. Look, you should throw this veto. So that's what Ryan is trying to get across. He's saying, guys, we should all throw the veto to Hamza and Andrew, because it doesn't matter. And honestly, how the game works is that if you win, that's bad for your game. So with that in mind, you should really throw it, right?
Yeah, again, it's a very interesting strategy to be so openly know-it-all-y. And I'm just curious to see. Obviously, he's safe because he's the HOH. But like, is he going to be the immediate next target as soon as he comes down? I think almost there's a slight possibility that people will put up with it for a while because it's so obvious. Like when it's time to get rid of Ryan, it'll be really easy to do. And so, you know, they might keep him around for a while because he plays his hand so openly. You know, if you were to play poker with somebody and everyone else had their cards like this, but one player at the table had their cards fully open, you know, you might want to keep them around for a while because even if they have better cards than you for some of the hands, like you'll always know exactly what they're doing.
Yes. Miranda on Facebook says he tried to hide it, but obviously he can't control himself. Has to be a know-it-all. I don't know anyone like that, John.
No, I don't. Know-it-alls tend to be very insufferable, and I try to avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, in my application video to come on Rob Has a Podcast, I said that I would not get along with know-it-alls, and I would target them. So clearly, Ryan would be my target if I went into the house.
Well, honestly, if you want to, yeah, if I were in the house, I would try to separate myself from Ryan. I see a lot of myself in Ryan in as much as that I obviously am someone who talks about the show and I have this, you know, knowledge of the history of the show. And I think that if you are also like that player, you want to distance yourself from that person. So, you know, there are other people we know from the preseason videos and whatever, that there's a lot of fans of the show in this house, but like not anyone is being so open as Ryan. So like the other players are kind of being quiet about it because he's taking all that spotlight.
Yes. Comment from Ashley in the chat asks, what's your read on how other house guests are taking his coaching sessions? And I will say that I think initially when he was talking to Johnny and Erica, they were kind of, you know, oh, he might be telling me the truth here. Like people might be seeing me this way. I need to start acting in a certain way to counter that. Maddie certainly did as well. However, even then, Erica was kind of suspicious of it and Olivia became suspicious of it. And then over the course of yesterday, March 10th, I feel like they really started to sour on this. A lot of people, they were like, they still talk about Ryan. He is so smart. That guy, Ryan is a really smart guy. However, they're not listening to him as much. They're starting to think, oh, wait a minute. He is kind of a weirdo. He's kind of a out there guy.
Well, you know what? Like, he's really kind of trying to do a lot here at the same time because he's trying to plot out the rest of the game for multiple people, which has never been attempted before. But then he's also trying to do this thing where he's trying to keep the house very, very happy. Like you guys were saying a few days ago, where he's trying to capitulate by nominating Andrew and Hamza. But then at the same time, he's trying to float this backdoor thing with Olivia, which is, you know, as far as we know from the last time the feeds were on, that's still the plan, is if either of the players win, or if anyone wins, you know, that they'll get taken off and then Olivia will go up. But he tried to do it in such a, you know, 7D chess type way where he's trying to convince everybody to like float out Olivia's name so he doesn't have to say it. But then he's going to put Olivia up. He talked to Olivia for a while yesterday and like hinted like, you know, people are saying your name. But it's Olivia, I think, knows that he's the one who's been saying her name. And I think that in his head, the reason he's doing all that is that so what when he eventually has to put Olivia up, his hands will be free, you know, blood, no blood on my hands. But I think that he's playing again so openly that obviously he's the one who's been behind all this. So he thinks that he's going to end up at the end of the week with no enemies. And I think Olivia is already really on to him. And then obviously like Olivia's allies don't want a little, you know, that to happen.
Yes, it's been interesting. Christina on Twitter, who is a great, great Twitter commenter on Big Brother, Steinanitz, I don't know why I said that. Mentioned one of the comments she made was, which I thought was a very funny one, was that Ryan feels like he's masterminding like this whole thing, but what's really happening is that there's a battle between two women here. Ultimately, one being Maddie, who's trying to get Olivia out, and one being Kayla, who's trying to keep things the same and get the Andrew Hamza contingent out. But Ryan has no idea that there's a battle happening there. He thinks this is all his doing, which is, I think, very accurate for the current state of the house.
Well, again, he's got such an insane knowledge of the show. And so he's trying to play the Paul game because that's the one that was most recently, you know, effective. And I shouldn't say effective because even though Paul didn't win, it doesn't seem like Ryan necessarily wants to win. Yesterday, he said that his goal is to get to the final two because Ryan says, if you get to the final two, you're going to be on Big Brother Canada All-Stars, which is an interesting strategy considering there's never been a Big Brother Canada All-Stars. We don't know exactly what they look for when they cast an All-Stars. Obviously, last year we had sort of like some returnees. And, historically, Big Brother Canada has been not renewed for some time. And you know, we don't know if there will be an All-Stars, but that seems to be his big plan. So I think he wants to play the Paul game and get to the end and then come back for Big Brother Canada All-Stars someday.
Little does he know that for Big Brother Canada All-Stars, there's going to be a big fan vote. And then the person that gets the least amount of votes goes into the house because what a twist that would be.
Right. I think it would be funny for Big Brother Canada All-Stars for them to have a vote between like 14 people that are All-Stars and then 14 people that have never seen the show before. And then all those people get to go into the house and it'll be like, hey, Big Brother Canada All-Stars, we gave you what you wanted. These people have never been on the show before. They're your All-Stars 2019.
Sounds right. So the veto players are picked. It's ultimately going to be Hamza, Andrew, Ryan, Jesse, Erica, and Johnny. And Ryan has an explanation for why every single one of them should not win the veto. It should be either Hamza or Andrew. He says, look, Erica, she's already so social. She can't be showing people that she's also really strong in competitions. That would not be good for her. And Johnny's already won too. He can't win a third. That's no good for him. Johnny, you can't win. And then he has a talk with Jesse and talks to him about like, so what if there's a plan? There might be some kind of plan that might be kind of cool. What would you think about that? Would you maybe use the veto if I asked you to? And Jesse was like, sure, yeah, I guess I'd do that. And so Ryan is feeling very much like he is Paul and that he is controlling the action, that he is going to control the outcome of the veto competition. He's going to do this massive blindside mastermind backdoor and then control the votes and take Olivia out of the game.
Well, what's really interesting is that I don't think that Ryan has like his analysis isn't necessarily incorrect, right? You know, why does Erica necessarily need to throw out and go hard to win this veto? You know, Andrew and Hamza both are sort of just kind of floating out there. Hamza, as far as I know, doesn't really have any hard alliances. I mean, he's kind of working with Andrew and then like, I know Ryan kind of wants to save them. So I guess they're kind of working together. Andrew has been sort of a pariah in the house since the feeds have come on. I know Hamster Watch said that Andrew is Eeyore this year. And so like, you know, why would you work super hard to save either one of these people? If they save themselves, like it's not necessarily going to hurt your game. And if they don't get saved, then that doesn't matter. And we've talked, you know, a few minutes ago about this battle between these two women where it's like, you know, do they want Maddie to go or don't they want, or I'm sorry, do they want Olivia to go or don't they? And it's like, if you don't win the veto, then, you know, I think that if they really, really want to save the contingent that wants to save Olivia, I think if they really want to, that she could still go on the block and that could possibly happen. So like, yeah, I think that Ryan's read is not wrong here where it's like, I don't know that you need to actually try super hard to win the veto, but he's just going about it all wrong. Like he's going out and giving them like, well, this is your strategy. This is your motivation. This is what your story in the Big Brother house is going to be. And, you know, it's just big, big blowhard.
Yeah, well, I mean, I sort of joked about it yesterday that he's like a commentator who is in the house who just says all of the things to everybody. And I feel like It really is the case. It's like if Brent was in the house and he was giving his commentary to every single person. He was like, he goes up to Erica and he's like, "Oh, Erica, oh, you're doing too. People are thinking that you're doing this. Uh-oh, that's bad for you, Erica. Oh, Johnny, you shouldn't be winning another competition. That's bad for you, Johnny." And like, the commentary isn't bad necessarily, but the problem that Ryan is encountering is that he cannot close his mouth, and he has to say it to everybody at all times. When you're talking to Johnny and you're telling him, "Look, I'm trying to look out for you. I think that, winning another competition, that's probably a bad look. You might not want to do that." That's not a bad argument. Although coming from somebody who's trying to get somebody to throw the power of veto, it's a suspicious argument. It's not a bad one, though. It's very true. Johnny should not want to win this veto.
Oh, definitely.
However, when he says it to Johnny's face in the context of, "I don't want you to win this veto," and then goes around saying it to the entire house, and then has a like house meeting where he says Johnny shouldn't win this power of veto because that would be a bad look for him. It's like, what are you, do you understand that by telling everyone that it would be bad for Johnny to win this veto, it would be a bad look and that he should throw it, it defeats the entire purpose of Johnny throwing the veto, because now everyone knows that Johnny is afraid to win this veto because it's a bad look for him and that he's throwing it. It barely does anything for him.
Yeah, the power from throwing a competition comes from not having people know that you threw it. That's what the drama is, which is why when we watch it on the show, we always enjoy when there's people who are trying to throw it, but they do a bad job of it. And it's obvious that they're throwing it, because then it's like there's some dramatic irony going on where like we know and the other players know, but the person trying to throw it doesn't know. Ryan is really just like one soundboard away from winning his own web podcast award. to give Brent credit and like you credit and hopefully the rest of us credit, I think that we all have this little talent called know your audience, right? When I go home for Christmas and it's Christmas dinner and I'm sitting with my family, I'm not telling everybody, what's happening in the Big Brother house. And, I'm not telling everybody what the best move for them to do is, like, who's going to pass the ham? That's a bad look for you. Like, you have to know. When should you be talking in a certain way to certain people? I talk differently on the podcast than I do when I'm at work or with my friends, right? And it's like, who are you talking to in this house, and what do they need to hear? What do they want to hear? And I think that's really the big skill that Ryan is lacking. It's not his analysis. It's like, he shouldn't be saying these things to these people.
Well, that is why I used Brent as the example and not myself. So,
I'm not wading into this feud.
He doesn't even listen to these podcasts to hear. He has to hear about it through Twitter. All right. So, Marin ends up talking to Ryan. So as we mentioned yesterday, Marin had a conversation with Ryan where he was just like, "I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know anything about these people. I just got here." But at the end of that conversation, Marin said, "Look, I'll get back to you." And I assumed, and I think even Ryan assumed, that this meant that Marin was not going to get back to him and was not going to tell him anything about targets. However, Marin ends up talking to Ryan and says, "Hey, look, I wanted to get back to you about that conversation that we had. I want to let you know who my targets would be if I won HOH. And Ryan was like, "Oh, cool. Sure. Go ahead. That sounds good to me." So Marin ends up saying, "Okay, here are the people I think I would target. I think I would target Allie, because I just don't connect with her and I don't feel like she's open to connecting with me. And then, the other person, like, that's hard. Like maybe like Olivia, I don't know." And of course, Ryan, anytime he hears Olivia's name, he's like, "Ooh, yeah."
what did she do to him? That's my question. What did she do to Ryan?
What did she do to everyone in that house? I feel like she really was mentioned by almost every person. Although I'm pretty sure it was Marin that was like, I don't think I'd waste an elimination on Olivia though. Like what a weak move that would be. But Ryan feels like this is the move. This is the big strategy move.
Well, Ryan should know that you don't want to make a big strategy move early on in the game. And I want to say this about Marin, too. So I think that the way that the Gatecrashers really should be playing this is the way that Marin kind of came into the house playing it, right? You come into the house and it's weird. These people are starting late. You don't know who they are. They're being weirdly cagey about how, you know, there was some sort of weird audience poll. Arissa, like, picked them out of the crowd and all this different stuff. It's weird. And so your first thought is like, these people are weird. And then, you know, I guarantee, and I don't know exactly how it played out. I don't know if they talked about this in the feeds or not, but like, they're safe this week. They're not eligible for nomination this week. And so I'm sure when the other, you know, 13 players hear this, they're like, wait a minute, we can't even nominate these people this week. That means your attention is on these two people. So what the way you want to play it, if you're one of the Gatecrashers, is to just be forgotten. Because next week, and Ryan has already said, again, remember, Ryan has outlined how the rest of this season is going to play out. And the way this season is going to play out is after we lose Olivia this week, we're going to lose, you know, Marin and or Veronica right in a row. And so you want to be completely forgotten about. And Marin came into the house doing that. Like, he was just there. You know, Veronica came in and she was like, I want to be one of the girls. I'm going to be friends with the girls. Hey, girls, I'm a girl. You're a girl. Let's be girls. Marin was just kind of there for a while, and I think that was great. And I think it's a misstep for Marin to start trying to play the game. Like, the goal for Marin should be like, just exist in the house. Don't be a threat. Don't be a non-threat. Just be like, he's wearing all white anyway. Just like, press yourself up against that fluffy, you know, white clouded wallpaper and just disappear for a while, because next week, you know, he could possibly be nominated. It would be so easy for the next HOH, just at the beginning, to just nominate the two Gatecrashers. No one would be angry about that. And, you know, when it comes time to eliminate one of the Gatecrashers, you know, if you want to be Marin, you want to be like, get this other girl out. You know, she's been rubbing people the wrong way or whatever. And so this is not a good look for Marin, I don't think. Like, don't start playing the game right now. Give it some time.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that it really is the vibe of the house. I think Marin went into the house thinking, I can just sit back and be chill and use my social game. But there are so many fans in this house. They all want to play, and they all want to play hard. And so the atmosphere of the house is, you know, whether it's Ryan being a crazy person or Kayla running her, you know, band of cool pretty kids, or or Hamza, you know, talking about being a lone wolf and getting the underdogs together.
But he's also a competition beast. I don't know if you heard that. Hamza is the shoe-in to win this veto because he's a comp beast.
He's like, already won it, I'm sure.
Yes.
yes.
Schrodinger's veto comp right now.
Yeah.
We don't know. We haven't seen in the house in a while.
But it's like everyone is playing hard except for like the people off weirdly that are being targeted. Like, Olivia is probably one of the few people that isn't playing super hard, which is funny because they're all like, oh, she's so smart, she's so dangerous. So I feel like Marin thinks that he needs to jump in on this action. Like, he needs this is how the house is working right now, and if he doesn't start playing, then he'll be left behind. And so after he has this conversation with Ryan lets him know, like, you know, there might be some kind of backdoor in play, and Marin is, I'm all for whatever you want. I want to vote with the house. I don't want to stand out. I'll do whatever. And he goes and talks with Andrew and Hamza, and he's like, guys, this is cool. You guys are saved. That would be really cool for me. I want to work with you guys. I really like you guys. He's essentially like Marin, I think, came into this house and he said that it's been awkward for him in the house because he's used to being a very outgoing, social, like, popular person. However, he is the new kid in this scenario, and he didn't get the cool kid club card invite from all the other cool kids. So now he's gravitating toward the outcasts. So he's kind of like in this situation where he's going to be working with people like Hamza and Andrew, and, you know, whoever else will join their merry band of misfits. I think that's what he would love to do. He doesn't want to jump on a sinking ship, but if he now feels like there's a potential that they might get saved and that Olivia might get targeted, which would be great for him because it would put a big target on people like Ryan and even people continuing to put a target on people like Andrew and Hamza over him. So for Marin, this whole Olivia plan would be very, very good.
Yeah, and it can really work out in a really great way. Being in the misfits group, you know, can help, where if you can sort of clump enough different disparate groups of people together, you could suddenly find yourself, you know, in the new majority. You can find yourself sort of controlling the house, right? Like we've seen it before, you know, in BBOTT, where there was, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that, but it did happen. It did happen. And we had, you know, the group of sort of misfits became the other side of the house, really. And then they ended up getting in power. And then that became sort of, you know, the people that were against the ball smashers. And then that whole season went back and forth between those two groups of people. And so, like, yeah, you could easily get, if Andrew and Hamza are both safe, and then you get Marin, and if he can become sort of the popular guy in this new group of people, he could sort of be their leader. Again, I think that it's too soon for him to start making those moves, because people are thinking about the gate crashers as these new people in the house, but like there is a path there. I think that really, you know, again, his problem is that he's a recruit too. He doesn't really know much about the show. And so he doesn't have, you know, any body of knowledge to work with. He doesn't necessarily know the dynamics of how these things play out, which is really what's going to cripple both of the gate crashers, is they don't have, you know, on the other side, we have Veronica, who thinks that being a super fan is a really good thing, because what's her exposure to the show is basically just the last week of Ryan running the house. And so she's like, that seems to be working for him. And so as far as she knows, that's the way to play the game. So Veronica's trying to tell everyone that she knows Big Brother really well. And it's been very entertaining for me to watch her not actually know the show and make a bunch of sort of slip ups and stuff like that. But you know, these two players don't know what they should or shouldn't be doing.
It's very refreshing to me that the norm in this house is to pretend that you are a fan in order to fit in. Not only that, but like you see Veronica come in. I don't think she's capable of playing an overly strategic game, but she is capable of trying to fit in by saying, "I know I'm a fan. I'm like you guys." And then you have Marin come in, who I expected to play a very low key game, a very boring game, because that just seems to suit his personality. But he's starting to, I think he feels pressure to play a more active game, because that is the zeitgeist of Big Brother Canada 6.
Absolutely. And that's one of the most interesting things about the show. This is when I love the show the most, is when you can see these social dynamics play out, right? There's no such thing as normal, right? Even whether it's in the real world or in the Big Brother house, it's just like whatever the most people think is normal, that's what normal is in that social group. And so, yeah, we have this season full of people who are somewhere between middle and super fans. And then we have Ryan right now, obviously this week, laying the groundwork for what the rest of the season is going to look like. And he's setting the stage for this to be a season where everyone needs to act like a super fan. So he's creating the normal. And so people, it's almost like an upside down. It's almost like Stranger Things. You know, yeah, where it's like we have, that's going to be the new normal. And so if you want to fit in, you need to act like you know stuff. The people who don't know stuff are going to be the ones who might stick out.
I can't wait for the twists to just beat them all into submission until they start playing a boring game again. We'll just have to wait for that to happen.
I'm sure. So cynical.
Look, it's happened almost every single Big Brother Canada. So, it happens. So Ryan then, after his conversation with Marin, talks with Allie and says to Allie, "Hey, guess what Marin told me? He told me that he doesn't connect with you and that he would target you if he won HOH. And Allie was just like, no. And this was just an awkward conversation.
Yeah, Allie's another one of these people that's kind of, maybe it's my lack of social understanding, but I don't understand why, but she seems to be one of these people that's not really doing very well socially. in the game right now. A lot of people seem to be okay with the idea of Allie going sooner rather than later. She's not really, you know, tied in too close with anybody as far as I can tell. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see kind of because of the weird dynamics of this house right now, like who are the out people? And she seems to be one of them.
Yes. Another interesting thing that to follow over the course of yesterday was we got a little bit more information about the Kayla Derek showmance and their alliances and their position in the house. They talked with each other a bit. Derek is the person that's essentially saying, I don't know much about this show. I'm good with people. And Kayla is saying, that's great because I watch the feeds. I am all in on this show. I can direct you. You can be social. I can be the brains. This is a perfect combo. And they seem like a pretty effective combo, at least for now.
Yeah, and that is a good dynamic. I think that any good duo should sort of cover all of the bases. And so if Derek is the more social and also possibly more, you know, skilled person, obviously I don't really subscribe to the idea that you need to be physically strong to be good at Big Brother challenges, you know, and then if we have Kayla being the other half of that, where she knows the game better, if she's sort of like Ryan, but less open about it, I think that could possibly be a good thing. I think that really the biggest problem for those two, honestly, is just that everyone knows that they're in a showmance right now. And it's always easy to target the showmans. Like, again, like depending on who gets a HOH, if someone gets HOH and they don't have an obvious target, if they don't have a super like super ego strategy where they want to play the next 8 weeks out, the easy thing to do to not piss off everybody else is to target the showmans. And then, you know, one of them might end up going home. So I think that It's the fact that they're openly in a showmance is hurting them. But like within that showmance, I do think that they have a good dynamic covered, and they do seem to be, as of now, pretty well ingratiated with the house. Obviously they're part of the real deal, and they do have, you know, friends outside of the real deal.
Yeah. So they have this real deal alliance, but they're not super loyal to it. The real deal alliance obviously being the two of them plus Jesse and Paris. And then they talked about how Ryan is really starting to sketch them out. They might need to target Ryan somewhat soon. They're scared of how smart he is. And you know, he's a little scary as a player. Kayla in particular seems a bit worried about Paris. She mentioned Paris a lot, in terms of like, well, we'll need to cut Paris eventually. She talks to other people. It's a little worrisome. So I think Paris needs to be a little scared of this couple. And I think she is. I mean, I don't think she's got all her eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I think when and if the real deal suddenly becomes a false deal and it implodes, and then we need to start looking for a new deal, the person who's going to break away from that is going to be Paris. And it's not even necessarily through a fault of her own. As far as I can tell, she's part of this foursome, like she's into it. But yeah, the Derek and Kayla contingents are looking at Paris and they're like, wow, she's got a lot of other friends outside of the real deal. And maybe she's got side alliances going on, which, you know, to some extent she kind of does. So it's a pretty accurate read. And so, you know, if they decide to implode at some point, she's the one that they may target. And then Jesse throws an interesting wrench into there because Jesse and Paris are getting closer and closer. Paris kind of maybe has a crush on Jesse, one of many people who does. And so, like, you know, who knows, that foursome could fracture into two showmance alliances that are targeting each other, which could be a really interesting dynamic. So yeah, that whole group, the real deal, is kind of an interesting one to watch right now.
Yeah, it's very nebulous. It's very shifting. We'll try to give you a rundown on the current understanding of where these people lie. You know, obviously you have Kayla and Derek as sort of the center of most things. You have Derek, who is in this boys alliance of Derek, Jesse, and Will. And they considered pulling Ryan in at one point, but I think that is long past now. You have Kayla, who is close with Maddie and you know, Erica and Paris and all of that. You have the real deal alliance. You've got Jesse and Paris, who seem to have some kind of flirt mance. They're very low key about it, though. When Derek and Kayla talked about potentially targeting Paris at some point, Jesse was pretty open to the idea, even though he was like, I don't think she's much of a threat, though. Then you've got this sort of Paris, Will, and Maddie sort of trio. They seem to work well together. And then you've got Maddie and Will together as kind of a pair. Or at least she sees them as a pair. And from Maddie's perspective, I think she sees her and Will, Kayla and Derek as the two pairs, whereas, you know, Paris might see it more like, you know, her and Jesse and like the New Deal kind of pair. So there's a lot going on. And then through all of it, you have Kayla and Derek now deciding maybe we should start trying to pull in Erica and Johnny. We should try to make some kind of five person alliance with the two of us, Jesse, Johnny and Erica. Kayla loves Jesse. Kayla thinks that Jesse is great for Derek because she thinks that Jesse is like a puppy dog that follows Derek around, whereas she thinks Will is more dangerous. He has more of a mind of his own and he's much more likable. I think she's right to be cautious of Will. I think she's very, very wrong to not be cautious of Jesse.
I want to give you like a standing ovation. That was really, really good. The dynamics in this house right now are very complex. Nothing is super, super concrete. And I kind of zoned out there for a second, I'll be honest. But I think you did a very, very good job.
You can always rewind and go back and try and parse it all. It's a lot. And it's ever shifting too. So like it is right now, it will probably be different tomorrow.
Which is very cool. My fear, I would say like worst case scenario for the season, and I don't mean to be a doomsayer, although historically, the worst possible scenario is usually what happens in this show. But my fear is that this will turn into, you know, showmance versus showmance, sort of like what we had in Big Brother 19. Obviously, there was the Paul factor happening there, but where we had like all these different pairs of people in BB 19, that is something that could possibly happen because Derek and Kayla are already in a showmance. Like we said, like Paris and Jesse are kind of flirting. Jesse and a couple of the other girls seem to like him. Maddie definitely likes Will. I don't think Will is sort of picking up what she's putting down, but like there is a scenario where maybe they all start to pair off and then start targeting each other. And historically, I think that ends up leading to sort of a boring season. But right now, that hasn't happened yet. It's all still up in the air. There's a lot of different ways this could go. I love that people are trying to get groups of four together and five together and three together. And all of those numbers add up to, you know, really interesting combinations when it comes to how the next few weeks are going to play out. Yeah. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Will right now. You brought up Will a second ago. You know, it's not just his accent. He reminds me a lot of John Party. It's not just the goofy, noofy accent, but like he's likable and good looking and everyone likes him. And that's what happens when you're likable. People like you. And I haven't heard anyone talk about targeting him at all lately. And like that's a dangerous thing, you know, sort of if you get near the end, especially if this becomes more of like a bitter season, possibly. At the end, if you're like the most likable guy, I think anyone could see, you know, Will at the end and be like, I could be okay with him representing the season as a winner.
Yeah, well, I talked about like the alliance breakdown of the cool kids, but there is a whole other side of the house, and Will is involved in that. And I think Will knows very well that he, you know, he's got the same kind of vibe that John did. He's a little bit goofy, a little bit physically intimidating, but, you know, still very friendly. He just has the same kind of charm, and he's really playing on that.
He's doing great. He's doing dance-offs with Veronica and stuff. Yes. Like, he's not just a good face. He's got, like, the social game thing.
So he has a good relationship with all the cool kids. However, he also has his sort of side thing with Paris and Maddie. And then he also spent some time yesterday talking with Hamza, especially if this whole backdoor Olivia plan is going to go through, which he is very much on board with. Will is all about, let's do a shift in power. Let's make big moves. I'm all for it. And so he had a conversation with Hamza. They want to work together. This is a very good pairing if they can make it work. I'm pretty sure I even saw like Netta tweeting like, watch out for this guy. This is John and Adele here. And it kind of seems like not too far from the truth. And then later, which was very funny, Will had a conversation with Ali where he was talking about working with Ali moving forward. And he was like, "You're like the Netta to my John." Like, he was using the same thing that Netta was using on Twitter. And I think that's a very effective means of getting people to trust you. Dan was able to do it in Big Brother 14 by telling everyone that they were his Memphis. And people like to feel familiar, a familiar link to other things. They're like, "Oh, this happened before, and I can think about what happened when that, you know, went down." Yeah. And like, "Oh, I'm your Netta and you're the John. That means we're totally going to run the season and we'll be loyal to each other until the final three."
All of this has happened before and everything will happen again.
Exactly. Yes. So I think it's pretty effective. And Will seems to be doing fairly well. Obviously, the problem John had in Big Brother Canada 2 was that because he was in a somewhat similar position, actually, kind of cool with the first five, but also with the other side of the house. But eventually the first five was really turned on him and they were basically about to take him out of the game when Canada's HOH happened. So he needs to be a little wary of that, but he seems to be in a better position than John was, to be frank, in Big Brother Canada 2 in the first half of the game.
And I've heard from the horse's mouth that this is going to be the most twisty season yet, and that the Canada will have unprecedented powers. So that's the other, you know, that's another major factor that we need to talk about is, like, who does Canada like? Clearly Canada likes Marin and Plur. But, like, you know, who are the other people in the house do they like? And I think that Will is someone that Canada probably, I don't pretend to know what Canada likes and dislikes since I'm not Canadian, but I would be willing to bet that Canada probably likes Will. And so if there is some sort of a vote or a power or a Canada's HOH or something like that, like, you know, he could easily be a benefactor of that.
I mean, that's true, but Canada twists, they don't always work out the way you want them to, even if you're voting. Even though Will is on board with this, Paris doesn't seem to like the idea of backdooring Olivia because she is, according to her, playing both sides right now, and she doesn't want to have to be forced to choose anything. She likes to keep things going with the status quo. She doesn't need a shakeup, and she doesn't understand why Will wants one. Will wants one because Will wants to play. But Paris is kind of like, "Oh, I'm not super happy with this." Obviously, Kayla has been trying to shut this down. Even though there is a lot of momentum and there are a few people that are on board with this backdoor Olivia plan, it still could go either way, in my opinion. It really, like, I am definitely hoping that, like, as I said, the feeds have been down all night. The veto competition started sometime last night and they haven't come back yet. I'm hoping that the feeds come back and Hamza or Andrew have won the veto, because that means that Olivia will probably go on the block and there's going to be all kinds of campaigning and all kinds of different dynamics happening as to whether or not she stays.
Right. I think that even though we don't know who won and therefore we don't know who's going to be sitting on the block, you know, at the end of the week, I do think that we can safely say that one of the three people will definitely be going home, because either the status quo stays and then it'll be either Andrew or Hamza, or if one of them gets pulled off, we know almost as definitively as you can know that Ryan will put up Olivia. There's no one else he's going to put up. And then, yeah, like you said, that's an interesting situation. I think in terms of if you are fun feeds, team fun feeds or team good TV, that you want that to happen, because then there'll be a lot more interesting campaigning going on. Because if it stays Andrew and Hamza, then it's really sort of six of one, half dozen of the other. And so that will make the best outcome for viewership. But I do think right now we can safely say it's one of those three that's going to go home. And that's really the most definitive that we can be right now. I want to talk real quick before we wrap up about Paris a little bit. I don't know. You guys covered it a little bit. I think I remember Brent talking about it the other day, but, like, Paris is interesting. She's another person I want to see more diary rooms from, not only from herself, but also other people's opinion of her, because she has this thing where she's got very low self-esteem. And she talks a lot about, I was watching before the feeds went out last night, and she was, like, in the fridge and she was trying to reach something and she was, like, struggling to pick up some celery. And she was like, "I'm so weak. This celery is too heavy for me. I wish I weren't so weak." And it's interesting. She's indicated a little bit that maybe that's an act. Maybe she's doing that to garner sympathy. But I'm curious. I want to see her DRs because I want to know how much of that is an act versus how much of that is real. It could be a mixture of that where it is real, but she's realizing that that might help. And then I also want to see other people's opinions of it, because like I know Erica, for one, seems to be pretty good friends with Paris, and Erica gives her a lot of pep talks and like inspirational conversations like, you got this, like you're great, you're beautiful, and you can pick up that celery and all these different things. But again, I want to know, like, is everyone else buying what she's trying to sell?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, we did talk, or I mentioned this a little bit before, but like, you know, she talked about in her intro how she considered herself to be like an ugly duckling kind of.
She used to be
child.
Bullied.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's, you know, now that she is like this beautiful woman, those insecurities, you know, they don't just go away overnight.
Right.
So I'm sure that a part of that is definitely true to who she is. I think that, you know, to try and parse out how much of it is truly her and who is, you know, what she's trying to play up, who knows. It's an interesting dynamic, especially because she is involved in the Cool Kids Alliance. And that's what she said that she was going to do preseason. She was like, I think that I can play cool kid well enough that I can be included, but I also can relate to the misfits essentially. I think that's very good for her, and nobody in the house seems to find it very draining, even though some of the audience isn't super happy with having to watch Paris be insecure.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily hate it or not, but that's what I'm curious in DRs, because I think in a DR you can be, especially if the producers are like, how do you feel about Paris? You know, in the DR, the people might be a little more open about how they feel about it one way or the other. They might say, I'm sick of it. Or they might say like, oh, she's like a sister to me and I want her to feel better.
Yes. Another quick thing to mention about Jesse, because we talked now about the misfits. Jesse, I think, is, you know, we've talked about how, you know, Maddie is doing a lot of good work. She's in with Kayla. She's in with Paris. She's in with Will. She really was the one, the person behind this whole backdoor Olivia plan. And nobody knows it. And so, like, I think she's doing a lot of good work behind the scenes. Kayla is somebody else who is controlling a lot of people, a lot of different opinions. She's controlling a lot of things behind the scenes. But I think Jesse is the person who is in the best position in the house by far. Nobody is targeting him. Derek is a bigger target ahead of Jesse. Jesse has insane social connections. People are talking about how like Olivia likes Jesse. People think that Maddie likes Jesse. Obviously Paris likes Jesse. I don't know if that's going to backfire on him at some point, but this is like top-notch social game stuff happening right now with Jesse.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it was you in the preseason analysis where you said that he reminds you of Zach from Big Brother Canada 3. And I think that's I'm really getting a lot of that. Like Zach was not only inoffensive, but also very likable and everyone liked him. And he made it. He cruised all the way to, what did he end up getting with, like fifth place or whatever? But I think that
after making many a mistake and having many twists fall against him. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was never really in much danger outside of those twists and stuff up until that point. So I'm not really sold on Jesse as like winner potential or winner material, but yeah, there's no way, unless something goes horribly, horribly wrong, that he's in any danger for at least the first half of this game. Like if you wanted to pick one person right now who's a lock for jury, Jesse is definitely that person.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on his strategic ability, but if he is able to pair up with somebody like Paris, who at least theoretically has a lot of strategic potential, then that could be a very, very deadly combination. Jesse has decided that he is not going to throw the power of veto, even though he kind of wants to, because he doesn't want to put himself in a spot where Ryan is expecting him to use it, but he doesn't want it to be used. He doesn't want this backdoor to go through. It's probably bad for his game. So Jesse is probably the person most likely to go ahead and try to win this thing, and then not use it. Johnny talked about doing that as well, but he kind of backed down, and I don't think Erica ever really cared much.
I don't know if Johnny is capable of throwing a competition. True. Obviously, our sample size is small here, but Johnny has won every challenge that has happened that he was eligible to play for. So I don't know. He might be our next Shannon Elizabeth. I know I'm not the first person to say that, but that's another reason I'm curious to see how this competition shakes out, because Johnny, it may not look like it on the surface, but he is a very competitive person. I don't know if he has it in himself to not try to win it. He may not win it, but I think he's going to try very hard to win it.
Yeah, and Johnny, I think, gets the award for being included in the most amount of alliances and not knowing about a single one of them. It's crazy.
He's such an interesting player. He's not at all like I thought he was going to be in the preseason, where I never predicted he was going to be this competition beast. I didn't predict that he was going to be. He's not bad socially or even strategically, really. But yeah, like you said, people want to include him, but he doesn't seem to be picking up that he wants to be, that they want him to be in their alliances. So, we were saying that he's going to be gone in a week or two or three, but he could be around for a while because it seems like people want to work with him.
Yeah. I mean, like Ryan is like, I love Johnny. I would never put Johnny up. You've got Erica and Olivia talking about how in their, you know, imaginary alliance, he is in the core. You've now got Kayla and Derek and Jesse talking about bringing Erica and Johnny in. Kayla did talk to Erica, but as far as I know, Johnny's still uninformed about any of these alliances. But I do think this is going to come together. Kayla and Derek seem a lot more active in terms of bringing in their allies. This could be the thing that starts, right? It could be the five person, the real deal being left behind, and this five person thing of Kayla, Derek, Jesse, Erica, and Johnny as the power five in the house. Which is interesting because they don't seem like they socialize all that much. Who knows? There's, like I said, very fluid stuff, but this could be the thing that starts all the things.
And I think it's very good if Johnny can start to realize where his position is in the house. It's a good position to be in, right? Like the idea of always being in the in group, but not being the leader of the in group. You know, it's good in the early game that we have someone like Derek and someone like Kayla who are trying to bring in people. And that's good. But eventually, no alliance ever, unless no alliance goes forever, because ultimately there's only two people in the end and there's only one winner. And so even if this five works, even if it lasts for a long time, it's going to crumble. And the person who ends up being targeted is always the leader of the alliance. So if you're someone like Johnny and everyone wants to pull you in, as long as you can figure that out and say yes, that's great, because then you are safe. You are in an in-group, but then you're not the head of the dragon or the head of the snake. And then when that eventually crumbles, it seems like other people want to pull you in their direction. So, someone like Johnny or even Erica, that's a great place to be in. You always want to be the person who is being pulled in.
Yeah. All right. Well, unless there's anything else from you, John, I think that's all we've got for you today on the live feed update.
No, that's pretty much it. Yesterday was an interesting day because we didn't see a ton of, because the veto never ended up happening before the feeds cut, we didn't really get to see a lot of concrete steps being taken. So in a lot of ways, this entire episode has been useless because we're in kind of the same place we were when we started. But at the same time, yesterday was very interesting because we got to learn more about the social dynamics. We've really only had, 2.5 days of feeds at this point. And if we take out the blackouts, there's really only been 1.5 days of feeds. And so we're still really learning who these people are, how they interact with each other, and how those dynamics are changing. So this was a very, very important podcast while simultaneously kind of being useless.
Yeah, and I can't speak well enough for how much I'm enjoying this cast and the games that they're playing.
You're talking about Jenga?
Even Big Brother Celebrity, while very fun, had a very simplistic game. That was Girls Alliance, which then got you know, flipped on and broken up to something else, and so on and so forth. This is a very, very fluid cast, fluid structure, and lots and lots of different possibilities. Nothing is set in stone yet. And it's all very, very exciting.
Yeah, it's really great. I, for one, really love Big Brother Celebrity, but those people, even though they all came to play, not all of them had a great knowledge of the game. And then also it was just so short. Whereas this season, it seems like we have a lot of people who came to play and to some extent know what's going on, you know, on a scale of Veronica to Ryan, like everyone is closer to the Ryan side of things. But we have a full season here. We're going to have the full, you know, whatever it ends up being, 70 something days, 80 days. So it's still early going. There's a lot of game left, a lot of yardage to go.
Yes. And as Nikki says on Facebook, now that we have finished the update, let's get these feeds back on and find out who won the veto.
Yeah, when I hang up with you, I'm going to call Arissa and tell her it's time.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, John.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So we will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on who won the veto and who the target is and what it's looking like and more talk on where this house sits in terms of power and everything. So very excited for all of that. And of course, the next episode of Big Brother Canada will be airing tomorrow night, and Rob Cesternino will be live after the episode to recap everything that's going on. And then tomorrow night, I will get the LFC together and we will do our roundtable and talk about the whole week and come to conclusions and argue. And Brent can yell at me for things that people told him I said about him on Twitter.
I just hope Melissa's less angry next time.
And or sad, you know. I think, yeah, it was mostly sad.
Happy Melissa is where my comfort zone is.
Okay. A lot of people like angry Melissa.
No, it's fun. I care for her well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I don't want her to explode.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you subscribe to the Big Brother, dedicated Big Brother feed on iTunes. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed to get all of these podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can follow John at John Krause. You can leave a comment on robisawebsite.com or on the YouTube video or on Facebook on Rob as a Podcast, the Facebook page. So thank you again, everyone, for coming and joining us on this journey. I'll see you next time.
Bye. Everyone go back to bed.